I'm here with Aaron Petrick, a designer with the Wells Fargo Innovation Group. Aaron, tell me about your work.
I've done everything from general graphic design through the user experience design, through running my own user testing, doing interviews, getting results, iterating on those. I've done done whiteboard illustrations and facilitation for meetings, several very big meetings. I've done animation, I've done video, I've done web design, done voice acting. So it's kind of hard to pin it down. But right now, I'm mostly focused on the user experience end of design.
Can you talk me through an example of how user experience design can affect how a user sees a financial product?
In large part, a bad user experience is going to lead to a bad customer reaction, a bad user reaction. That could be something like frustration. That could be the user throwing their phone across the room and saying, I'm never using that app again. And the thing about having something like that, having an experience like that in a customer's mind, is that it is kind of directly correlated to how they see the brand in general. There's not a whole lot of nuance in terms of when somebody gets frustrated, here are the emotions that they feel. And so if you have a bad user experience, then people are probably not going to want to go to you in the future, even if all of the other products that you're offering, even if all the other benefits that you can give to that one user, they may actually end up being very good for them because of that one sort of interaction. And so the point of a good user experience in this case is to make things much easier, much simpler for them. Finances are hard. Finances are scary. They're yucky. When we're building things, we're trying to think about it as, what are the moments, what are the interactions where we can give our customers something unexpectedly easy and therefore joyful? We want to be able to put as much power as we can into their hands, make them feel like they are walking a very fine line successfully between making their own decisions and trusting the bank.
Mm-hmm. So Wells Fargo is what, the third largest bank in the U.S. in terms of assets?
I think so. Yeah.
And there are a number of smaller fintech players trying to capture that market. We have players like Chime and Simple and N26 now.
Right.
Monzo in the UK, Sterling, a whole suite of new products. And they all seem to really double-click and key on having a really intuitive user experience, mm-hmm. and a beautiful UI. How are you able to work within the constraints of a large organization like Wells Fargo, but also work to develop these very intuitive, very beautiful design experiences?
The brand refresh has actually been super helpful for us to be able to take a lot of what is modern, what is, I don't want to necessarily say cutting edge, but what the customers expect out of a user experience and be able to deliver that to them. I think that, before that was the case, a lot of the time we were butting up against these legal and risk and compliance requirements, where there was this sort of constant back and forth that had to occur, where we want things to be done this way as designers because that's the way that everybody else is doing them. And so if you have a user that's used any of these, 50, 100 apps, they're expecting one experience and we're giving them something completely different. So there was that sort of constant fight, and we're one group, so we're always going to lose the war, but every small battle that we can win is going to be helpful for the end user. I think that what's important to understand about that is that we want to push the boundaries of what we can give them under our brand standards to the absolute maximum in order to get them exactly what they want, when they want it, and how they expect to have it. There's a lot of talk going on right now about the responsibility, the difference in responsibility between established banks like Wells Fargo and then a lot of the fintechs that you're talking about. They don't really have to be constrained by the same sorts of regulations. they don't have the same sorts of legal precedent holding them back from doing a lot of things. And it allows them to have a huge center focus around doing user experience, doing that human-centered design, that in many ways it could take us years to be able to push something through, that it would take a smaller, more agile company that has far less restrictions upon them, you know, 6 months or less.
I wonder from an inspiration perspective, do you get it? Because you are so constrained, right? You can only do the buttons a certain way. You can have limited functionality in the app. Do you get your inspiration from non-financial designs, say, you know, other apps? Mm-hmm. Is it mostly financial? Is it a combination of both? Or how do you approach basically ideating on a new design for any Wells Fargo digital products?
It's very hard to create something that is wholly original. But the point is to be able to combine all of these different things that you're taking from all of these different places into something that becomes original, because you're taking, you know, this small piece from one person, this small piece from this company, and you're combining it in a way that no one has done that before.
So your job is not so much to create something from the ether, but rather to pull in disparate sources of design and kind of frame it in the Wells Fargo world, or in your case, in your own personal world?
Yeah, I absolutely have to find inspiration from outside of financial industries. I think that my mindset about design, not only mine, but just the industry at large, is that nobody ever gets things right on the first try. And so as much as I possibly can, I want to be able to borrow things that other people have done that I've seen be successful in the marketplace. Because then I don't have to spend $100 million doing the user testing that Apple has done.
How much do you incorporate sort of user journeys and customer pain points and any input you get from the product management team into the design choices you make?
User journeys and pain points, that's necessary. Feedback from product managers is helpful, but it may stop at helpful. So one of the really important things about human-centered design is in the title. You were designing for a real person. That real person has real problems. What are we doing as designers to solve those real problems for them within the actual constraints that they may face? Whether those constraints be technological, whether they be market, whether they be educational, and, you know, hundreds of others. All of that needs to be taken into account. So having something like a user journey, I think that user journey as a structure is, there are a lot of different ways that you could go about it. You could do it very completely. You could, you know, burn every single piece of literature about it and then say, follow a customer around for a day. There are so many different ways that you could do a user journey. But at the end of the day, I think that we as designers and we as, you know, business people, we need to stop assuming that we know what our customers want better than they do.
As you think of the ways in which you design products, how much are you thinking in terms of how you can nudge users to do or not do certain things? To do things like maybe spur more savings, maybe decrease the amount of money that you spend on frivolous things. Is that something that you think about, or that your team sort of takes into account as you build these new things?
Yeah, it absolutely is. I think that there's a right way and a wrong way to do that. The wrong way is just building a solution to that customer's problem and then expecting them to have to learn something that they've never interacted with before and then try to catch up to you, because that isn't really helpful to them. Our job is to solve problems. Our job is not to create more. In a lot of ways, we need to make our customers feel like the decisions that they're making about their own financial futures are decisions that they're making, not decisions that we're making. And so there was this really interesting project that I did probably a year and a half ago, where we were trying to think about ways to facilitate customers saving more money over time. And we're going to give them visualizations to be able to project what this could grow into. Give them things like saving goals. Here's how you set spending limits for yourself. In a lot of ways, these are still things that we're trying to figure out today. But what happened was that as I was in the very beginning stages of this, and I was shopping this idea around, and I was giving some kinds of possible answers to these questions, one of the examples that I had given in this mock user interface was the ability for somebody to say, like, see how much I'm spending on Starbucks per week, right? And when I would show that to the decision makers, they all thought that telling people you could save $5 a day if you don't buy a large coffee at Starbucks instead of buy a small, they all thought that that was great. And then I put it in front of users, and they were like, every single app in the world tells me how much money I can save if I don't buy Starbucks any day. I like Starbucks. I'm going to keep buying Starbucks. Help me another way.
I think that also speaks to the difficulty of getting it wrong. For example, I know that when Snapchat famously redesigned their app about a year ago or so,
right,
you could actually correlate very closely to their stock price just falling because the users just kind of revolted and said, you know, this redesign is not working for us. And it was already a very complicated, convoluted journey.
Yeah.
But I think that again speaks to the importance of having very clear design so that you can understand, so that you can get from intention to actually doing the task without having to learn 1,000 new tips and tricks.
Yeah, and I think that Snapchat is and always has been a really interesting story within that regard, because they're one of those places where they're wildly popular within a certain audience, but yet they're not following a lot of the maxims that most digital products that are of a certain degree of user level are following. They've always been very unique with their interfaces, and it's been very confusing for a lot of people.
I find it almost impossible to use.
Right. And that the new recent UI change, that big overhaul, that's not the first time that they've done that. And every single time that that's happened, people are like, I don't know where I am. What is happening to me right now?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah.
But yet they still have a lot of users. And so I think that there's something a little bit different going on there. I don't necessarily think it's human-centered design in many ways. I guess it could be if you're talking about human-centered from certain perspectives, but in terms of like this button is where I expect this button should be and it takes me to where I expect to go, I don't think that Snapchat does that. I think that there are a lot more bad user experiences than there are good ones.
What's something that you think Wells Fargo should be doing that it's not doing right now in terms of design?
So I think that we need to stop saying things like, we're going to catch up to this company in this amount of time. I think that we need to stop putting anybody else who is not us on that pedestal and saying, you know, in 3 to 5 years, we're going to get to where they are, because in 3 to 5 years, when we get there, they're 3 to 5 years or many more ahead of us. You go over to Apple and you ask anybody on the team who's working on that credit card product, if you were just a fly on the wall, just observing, do you think that they're ever going to say Wells Fargo? No.
Probably not.
Because that is not what's important to them. What we should be doing, instead of looking at it from that perspective of, you know, how do we get to where they are, what we should be doing is saying, what is it that our customers need? We need to stop being in competition with these other folks in terms of trying to get there first. Because if we're trying to keep our customers, our users, the people that actually make Wells Fargo, the business that it is, if we're doing everything that we can in everything that we do to make them as happy as we can possibly make them, inevitably we're going to build good products. I'm going to build good experiences. I'm going to build things that they want. And then we're not playing a game of catch up because there's nothing to catch up to.
I think that's a great word to end it. Thank you. I've been speaking with Aaron Petrick from the Wells Fargo Innovation Group's design team. Thank you, Aaron.
Oh, thanks, Steve. I had fun.
All right. Same here.